My dear brothers and sisters, what a beautiful occasion, what a wonderful day, what a glorious time this is. And for me particularly to have an opportunity to stand here following that stirring declaration and testimony of God's prophet here upon the earth. As he held up that copy of the Book of Mormon, that first one, I thought of an experience we had a few years ago as we attended a mission president seminar. And for the closing dinner and the end of that little get-together for 2 days in the Palmyra and Fayette area, we held a little closing dinner in the restructured Peter Whitmer farmhouse, where the first meeting was organized, the organization meeting of the church, that beautiful little building. Where that meeting was held, where the church was organized 168 years ago, this weekend. It was such a moving occasion. The only cooking arrangement they had in that little farm, or that little log cabin, was the fireplace. And so we looked at the fireplace and with the pot that hanging over it where they did their cooking. They didn't have any of the conveniences of today, of course. There was a well outside for the water. But at the conclusion of that very spiritual meeting with those mission presidents, near the end, I walked up the steps, up the stairs, and looked at those two little bedrooms. The Peter Whitmer family lived there. But they turned one of those, that room, over to the prophet Joseph Smith. And there he did some of the translating of the Book of Mormon. And there, then Oliver Cowdery joined him later. And there they worked in that humble little setting. And my heart burned, and with the wonderful feeling I had of just being in that little farmhouse and imagining what took place and of the blessings of heaven that had been poured out upon that occasion. And as we left that little meeting that evening and left that little farmhouse, there was the full moon shining down through the trees. And I said to Ruby, I can imagine that on the night of April 6th, 1830, after that small group had assembled, the church had been organized, the six members had signed the necessary papers to see that it was recognized under the laws of the state of New York, and of the occasion, what was said, what was prophesied, the future of the church, the testimonies that would have been born, I said, I would imagine that the night of April the 6th, 1830, the moon was shining, showing that our Savior smiled upon that occasion and upon that setting. And later I said that in a little group. And Brother Chamberlain, who then was the director of the Hanson Planetarium in Salt Lake, heard me say that. And he was thoughtful enough to get in touch with our naval observatory, to find out what might have happened on April the 6th, 1830. They didn't have records back that far, and so he was thoughtful enough to contact in England the Naval Observatory and the records that might have been available over there. And he later sent me some documentary indicating what was happening in the horizon in that week of April the 6th, 1830. And indicating on there that there was evidence that there was a full moon those days before and after and during of April the 6th, 1830, which I have now as a prized possession, that there was a full moon. The glories of the Lord had been poured out upon the occasion. And I am honored here this morning as we listen to President Hinckley recall those tremendous events, and to have had the opportunity during my life to have been taught and to have listened and to have experienced events around the world and in the temples and in the various occasions and meetings that I've been in attendance and participated in, and to have felt the Spirit of the Lord directing this work, which I testify to you to be true. And as the years march on and as moves along, I'm honored to have the opportunity just to add my testimony to that of our great prophet. I received a letter a few days ago from a young man, 19 years old, by the name of Kevin Campbell from Juniper, Idaho. And I'm not going to try to tell you where that is, but you can imagine. And Brother Kevin wrote to me and said, "It has come to my knowledge that you are becoming quite old in your years. And I wanted to write you before you passed on to the other side." How is life in your old age? I have often wondered about it, and so I pose the question to you, how is life? So that I'll know what to expect when I get old like you are. I would say to Kemet Campbell, bless his heart, life is wonderful. And the only way I can describe it is that I have been blessed all of my life. And I have been blessed with challenges and opportunities and questions and problems and challenges have become part of life. But it's been wonderful. If we live the simple principles that we have been taught and live the way that we know we should live. And one of those wonderful blessings we have is the blessing of having more time with your children and their children and their children. But to have that opportunity to assemble and to be with them. And just the other night, we had the opportunity to attend a little baptismal service in the ward meeting house where Rachel was baptized, a great-granddaughter. And just a few nights before that, Richard, a little grandson, had been baptized. But as I had the opportunity to look at them and talk to them and squeeze them and see of that sparkle in their eye and of the light of the gospel, it seemed to fill their heart and soul. And they were so excited about the idea of being baptized and the way their family would have taught them of the principles. And now to be baptized and to become an official member of the church. And little Richard, I remember when I said, "Richard," as we shook hands, I said, "Give me a real missionary handshake." And that with that little 8-year-old hand, he almost squeezed my fingers off as he turned it. And I said, "Richard, you'll be a great missionary, just as little Rachel will be a great member of the church in her right." And on that same occasion, we had an opportunity to stand in the circle and to have young Peter Jr. receive the Aaronic priesthood and to hear his father give him the blessings of the priesthood, of the Aaronic priesthood, and for the others, those of us who are older, to stand in the circle and sense the occasion and to feel it and to know that this is part of your family. Part of our family, And I would want our family to know, as it continues to grow and expands, that their fathers, and I use that in the plural, as Helaman used it, the great Book of Mormon prophet Helaman, as he taught his sons about their fathers, of course, including Nephi and Lehi, and of their following the word of God and keeping the commandments. And as he taught them, those who left Jerusalem and out into the wilderness and helping bring all of this great story of the Book of Mormon forward, all that we have, that Helaman taught his children that their fathers had that they had works, and that the works were good, as he used that expression. And so I would hope that our own children, as the generations would go on, would know of their heritage, to know who they are, and to know that they had fathers who believed, and they had fathers who were challenged, and they had fathers who had investigated, and fathers who had been out in the world in declaring, but sensing and feeling, not in just quoting the scriptures, but to feel it in their heart and soul, that what we do is true. We've had an opportunity to try to hold on to an old house up in Oakley, Idaho, and to restore it a little so that our children would know of an ancestry, but to know that their fathers and that their works were good. And I even able to hold on to the gold watch that my father had, given to him by the Oakley First Ward when he was the bishop, given to him in 1905, a year before I was born. But we have part of a little of the heritage that their works were good, and they helped in the rolling forth of this wonderful work. In the first section of the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Lord taught as part of that revelation that this is a preface to my commandments, and that little publication that the brethren met there at Hiram, Ohio, 18 months after the church was organized, to pull those revelations together and compile them and to print and to have available to the people the commandments that the prophet Joseph had received. But as part of that first declaration, that first commandment, the first section, the instructions in there where the Lord explained how he had given Joseph Smith the power and the inspiration and the direction from heaven to translate the Book of Mormon and to bring the church forth out of obscurity and out of darkness. And just reflect in your minds today what is happening with President Hinckley as he travels the world and as he goes out meeting with people. And when we talk about bringing the church out of obscurity and out of darkness, just think what he is doing out in the world, of the press, the media, with people of all types, of how they have an opportunity to see God's prophet and to hear him, and to hear him explain and to testify and to explain what has taken place, as he has done on the television and in the press. And so the large newspapers and the magazines and other publications now have had these favorable stories, of course, about the church. God lives, he is our prophet. Or God lives, he is our father. I testify to you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the world today would have some real understanding of just the simple Ten Commandments? When the Lord, with his own finger, cut into a tablet, so that Moses, when he came down from Mount Sinai to help help the children of Israel who were riotous, so that they wouldn't say, oh, you didn't understand what was said, the Lord with his own finger cut the words into this tablet, so that when Moses brought them down, they would be able to read that of the Lord's own statement of, thou shalt, the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and but thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make any graven images, something else to worship. But you will love the Lord, you'll love God. And that we would not take the name of God in vain. Not take it in vain. That we would honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Imagine what that would do in the world today and in the United States and with the spin doctors. And thou shalt not steal or bear false witness or covet your neighbor's oxen and farms, his wife, or anything that he has. The gospel of our Lord and Savior and has been restored to the earth. God lives. He is our Father, I know. Jesus is the Christ. I have heard his voice because I have felt of that Spirit as he explains to us. You cannot hear my voice. You cannot see me. But my voice is Spirit. I know that is true. Joseph Smith was the restorer and the one who was found and trained and was obedient and was valiant in every way as the instrument of the restoration. And today we have a living prophet upon the world who represents us in such a glorious way throughout the world. Live the commandments. Do what is right. Take advantage of this great opportunity in your life to live it, to be good, to have good works, and to influence other people for good. The gospel is true. I hope that every day of my life I might be able to do some good and to encourage somebody to live a better life. And to understand what has been restored to the earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.